I am joined by my partner in banter, Matt Bellany of The Hollywood Reporter. Hello, Matt.
Hi there.
So, you know, I have talked on the show before about how entertained I am when Netflix, the original streamer, the original disruptor, which was going to come in and everything was going to be the Netflix way, gradually starts seeing that they have to maybe do things a Hollywood way. Gradually starts saying, you know, if you bring us an awards-worthy movie, we absolutely will do what we can to get a theatrical release. We're buying this wonderful theater where we're going to showcase your films in New York and L.A., and we care so much about, you know, the artists, and we'll be nicer to you. We won't treat talent interchangeably. And then along comes Reed Hastings at this New York Times Deal Book Conference, the CEO. This is the boss of Ted Sarandos, the boss of all the other people who have to do with making Netflix films and TV shows. And he just starts out basically undercutting every signal, I think, that Netflix has tried to send to the creative community saying, we love and understand you. First of all, by saying that, you know, in terms of having pulled Hasan Minhaj's Patriot Act segment dealing with Saudi Arabia, which was critical of the Crown Prince, MBS, who, you know, is believed by many to have caused the murder of Jamal Khashoggi and who has been criticized on many fronts. He said, you know, in terms of that, that Netflix is, quote, we are not in the truth to power business. We're in the entertainment business. And that it may be how most places feel. I mean, probably Disney secretly in their innermost thoughts, they think, yeah, me too. But to say that out loud and publicly and proudly, I'm sure it's not something that anybody who deals with filmmakers and creative showrunners at Netflix wants to hear.
No, and this might go over well in Redwood City in Northern California, where Netflix is headquartered and all of the digital aspects are based. But in the Hollywood headquarters, where actual movies and TV shows are being made, this is not what you want to be out there as the message to the creative community, because you're saying the exact opposite to them. You're saying, come to Netflix. We will give you full creative control. You want to make a 3.5-hour gangster movie for $160 million and say what you want to say? We will do that. And then you've got Reed Hastings espousing what is likely the real opinions of the company, totally contradicting that. He said a bunch of things of this thing. He defended this new system they've got where they're going to potentially allow consumers to speed up content on Netflix, to watch more of it. Creators hate that because they don't want their work screwed around with.
Yeah, I mean, Judd Apatow has been very vocal about this on Twitter, and he's not alone. And I don't think I'm exactly quoting him at all, but the gist of what he is saying is, you know, why don't you take Beethoven's Fifth and just rush that along so you can listen to it faster? And I think that is an argument that appeals to anybody who has put their blood, sweat, and tears into making a movie. And he wasn't done, right? He had another comment about people watching movies in theaters.
Yeah, he basically said that if theaters want to play movies that are on Netflix, be my guest. But what that runs counter to is that the narrative in Hollywood right now from Netflix is for a certain kind of movie, maybe, you know, primarily awards movies, they will give an exclusive window in theaters like they're doing for The Irishman and like they're doing for Noah Baumbach's Marriage Story, where you can experience this film exclusively in theaters and then it will go to Netflix. That clearly is not Reed Hastings' preferred method. He's been open about that. But to drop that kind of comment into the middle of the award season and when these films are playing in theaters, not ideal for them.
I mean, Martin Scorsese just wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times defending his argument that the Marvel movies and the superhero movies are not cinema. And a great deal has been made about that. We don't need to go into it. I know what he means. I think people know what he means. They want to kind of pretend they don't, but they do. But at the end, he basically says, you know, yes, I made The Irishman for Netflix because they gave me the money, but would I rather have that thing in theaters? Absolutely, because that's what they do. They all want. And so for Reed Hastings, and I'll read the exact quote, if theaters want to carry Netflix films once they're on Netflix because people want the group experience, that's great. That is honestly patronizing, the way I read it, to people who, you know, you losers who aren't so happy that we're giving this to you right away and want to drag yourself to the theater and pay for the parking and the popcorn and the babysitter. That's great. It It doesn't play well in Hollywood either.
No, and going back to the Scorsese op-ed in the New York Times, he specifically mentioned the fact that Netflix was giving him this exclusive theatrical run. And I'm sure that was a big part of the negotiation to get that film is, what are you going to do for me in theaters? And you hear that all over town when Netflix is coming after filmmakers to make their big projects there. It's like, okay, I'll do it for Netflix. You give me the money to do it. And also, I would kind of like a theatrical exclusivity window.
I honestly think Scorsese believed that because he is Martin Scorsese, theater owners and Netflix would work something out. And it didn't turn out that way. Theater owners were like, nope, no dice. We don't care who it is. And that sends a message. You know, Cuarón managed to get a version of a release for Roma. And I think people were like, okay, maybe this can work. But when you see Martin Scorsese not getting it, that does send a message. Let me turn to another awards season issue, since Reed Hastings' comments, as you mentioned, come in the middle of awards season. The Academy has decided to disqualify Nigeria's first ever submission for Oscar. It's called Lionheart. And the reason is because the film is predominantly in English. Now, Nigeria's official language is English. And the Academy has changed the title of this, what was the foreign language category, but they haven't changed the rules. And this has not been met well by certain important filmmakers such as Ava DuVernay.
Yeah, the requirement is that the film be predominantly in a language other than English. And, you know, that's a very broad stroke rule intended to prevent films that should be competing in the other categories from competing in this category. But as you mentioned, the problem is they changed the name of the award from foreign language film to international film. And that seems to suggest they are welcoming of countries like Nigeria submitting the best of the best in their community for consideration for this award. And the best of the best in Nigeria this year apparently is an English language film because that's the official language. So what do you do here?
Let me read part of a tweet from Ava DuVernay, which says, "Are you barring this country from ever competing for Oscar in its official language?" Which I think really does underscore the absurdity. And the Academy is standing by this. And I just feel like, guys, give it up. It's a bad look.
Yeah, or change the name of the category back. But just in defense of the Academy, it's a really difficult thing to create a rule that is catch-all for all of these countries' submissions. And, you know, their argument is that Nigeria is free to submit a film that is not in English, just like
and not
any
the official
other
language of the country.
Sure. Right. Just like any other country is free to submit a film that is not in English, including countries that primarily speak English, like the UK or like any of these other English speaking territories. That's the rule as they have it.
It feels like a hangover from imperialism that looks bad, in my opinion. And I know the Academy has wrestled over years with this foreign language category and how to define it. And it's constantly controversial. And we'll see if they want to continue to defend this. Thank you, Matt.
Thank you.
That's Matt Bellany, editorial director of The Hollywood Reporter. Coming up after a short break, Damon Lindelof explains what happened with his canceled movie, The Hunt, from his perspective. You're listening to The Business from KCRW.